Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Tetvav. The last perek dealt mostly with the obligation of ona, conjugal relations, on the part of a husband toward his wife, without any reference to the mitzvah d'oraita of procreation, piria v'rivia. That mitzvah is the topic of this perek. After learning the essential parameters of the mitzvah, we will get to the dinim of a couple who do not succeed in having children after many years of marriage. The perek ends with several statements of Chazal about the proper relationship between husband and wife. Halacha Aleph starts off the perek by explicitly drawing a distinction between the concepts of ona and piria v'rivia. Ha'isha shirshat et ba'ala achar nisuin shimna onata, harei ze mutar. Ona, as we've seen, is an obligation of the husband toward his wife, something he owes her. So if she wishes, she may forego this right and privilege, and permit her husband to withhold conjugal relations. But even leaving ona aside, there is a mitzvah upon the husband, which can only be fulfilled through conjugal relations, namely the mitzvah of procreation, piria v'rivia. Therefore, the wife's permission to her husband to withhold ona is only relevant if he has already fulfilled this mitzvah. Otherwise, he must have relations with his wife at the usual ona interval appropriate to him until he fulfills the mitzvah. Piria v'rivia is the fourth and last mitzvah listed in the Koteret Tehilchot Ishut. It is the very first mitzvah appearing in Chumash, at the beginning of Sefer Bereishit, when Avram commands Adam HaRishon, and later Noach as well, with the words, Pru urvu umilu et ha'aretz. Halacha bet, ha'ish mitzuveh al piria v'rivia, aval lo ha'isha, ume'imata yitchev ha'ish v'mitzvah zo, miben shva esrei. וכיוון שעברו 20 שנה ולא נשא אישה, הרי זה עובר ומבטל מצוות עשה. ואם היה עוסק בתורה ותרוד בה, והיה מתיירא מלישא אישה כדי שלא יתרח במזונות ויבטל מן התורה, הרי זה מותר להתאחר, שהעוסק במצווה פטור מן המצווה, וכל שכן בתלמוד תורה. As Halacha Aleph implied, only men are obligated in the mitzvah of Piria v'Rivia, not women. This is learnt from the word v'chiv shuha, conquer the world, immediately following the command of pru urvu to Adam HaRishon. This word suggests that the essence of piria v'rivia is the masculine task of conquest of the world by humankind. A man is obligated in this mitzvah from age 17, but he's only considered to be mevatel the mitzvah, pushing it off to the point that his lack of fulfillment constitutes negligence when he turns 20. The Rambam here seems to contradict the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot of Ben Shmonesrei Lachuppa, one should marry when he turns 18. The Magid Mishnah writes that he found two different versions of the text of the Rambam, one of which said 18 rather than 17. To explain our Girsa, the Magid Mishnah suggests that the Rambam understood the Mishnah to mean that one should marry in his 18th year, that is, during the year after he turned 17. If one is deeply involved in learning Torah and is concerned that marrying and the accompanying need to make a living would distract him from his learning, then he may delay the fulfillment of Piria v'Rivia based on the principle of Ha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha'mitzvah. One who is involved in a mitzvah, like Torah study, is exempt, for the moment, from another mitzvah, like Piria v'Rivia. Halacha Gimel refers to the extreme case of the Tana ben Azai, who was so immersed in Torah study that he never married at all. The Rambam writes of such a person that ein biado avon, he is not considered a sinner despite his neglect of piria v'rivia because of his intense attachment to Torah. But even this is only true if he does not struggle with sexual desire, hir hur avera, as a result of not being married. Even one who has fulfilled piria v'rivia must marry if he will otherwise have difficulty dealing with sexual desire. Regarding the age of marriage, the Shulchan Aruch, who discusses Piria v'Rivia in the very first siman of Evan Ezer, writes that one should not wait beyond age 20 to marry, and Beit Din may force a single man who has reached that age to find a wife. The Rama writes that we no longer have the custom to force anyone to get married. Poskim of recent times argue that the age range of 17 to 20 advocated by the Rambam was appropriate for a simpler world in which less time was devoted both to Torah education and to vocational training, and in which starting married life required far less of a solid financial base than it does now. At the same time, the mitzvah aseh of Piri Virivia and the concern of Hirhur Aveira are just as urgent now as they were in the past. Therefore, while it often makes sense to delay marriage beyond age 20, the general agreement among poskim is that it should not be pushed off more than a few years beyond that point, and most consider age 24 to be a reasonable upper limit. Even within these guidelines, however, very much clearly depends on one's success in finding a suitable partner. Halacha Dalet. Kama banim yulo le'ish v'titkayem mitzvah zo biado? Zachar unkeva. Shnemar zachar unkeva bera'am. Hayah ben saris o shaita bat aylonit lo kiyem mitzvah. There is a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel how exactly one fulfills the mitzvah of Piri Virivia. According to Beit Shammai, one must have two sons, like Moshe Rabbeinu. According to Beit Hillel, one must have a son and a daughter, just as Hashem created one man and one woman as part of Ma'aseh Bereishit, Zachar Unkeva Bera'am. Halacha, as usual, follows the opinion of Beit Hillel. One fulfills Piri Virivia even if the child is a mamzer, a cheresh, or a shota. However, if the child is a saris, or an ilonit, and therefore unable to ever have children himself or herself, then one has not fulfilled the mitzvah. The essence of the mitzvah of Piri Virivia is to perpetuate the human race, and therefore one is only yotze by having children who themselves are capable of having their own children later. Halacha hei, nodulo umetu, vinichu banim, hare zekie mitzvah Piri Virivia, bnei banim hare kebanim. There is a principle of bnei banim harehim kevanim. Grandchildren are considered a form of children. Therefore, even if one has children, and they die after having children of their own, he fulfills the mitzvah Piri Virivia through his grandchildren. But the Rambam imposes strict limits on how this can happen. A person, call him Ruvain, fulfills Piri Virivia if he has a son and a daughter, each of whom died after having one child, and those two grandchildren are a boy and a girl. It doesn't matter if the grandson is from Ruvain's son, and the granddaughter from his daughter, or the opposite. But Ruvain does not fulfill Piri Virivia if both of his grandchildren come from only one of his children, even if the two grandchildren are boy and a girl. Other Rishonim, like Tosfot and the Tur, believe that as long as the two grandchildren come from Ruvain's son and daughter, one grandchild from each, there is no requirement for the grandchildren themselves to be one boy and one girl. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the more stringent view of the Rambam. Halacha Vav. Hayulo banim begayuto, v'nikayer hu vahen, hare ze kiyem mitzvah zo. Hayulo banim v'hu eved, v'nishachrer hu vahen, lo kiyem mitzvah piri avirivya, ad sheolid achar shnishachrer, sha'eved ein lo yichus. If a non-Jewish man has children, a son and a daughter, and both he and they subsequently convert, then he fulfills piri avirivya in this manner. In contrast, if the same happens to an eved kanani, he does not fulfill Piri Virivia because of the principle that Eved Ein Lo Chayis, there is no halachic relationship between an Eved Kanani and his children, unlike a non-Jew, whose children are recognized halachically as his for purposes of inheritance and the prohibitions of Arayot, which are relevant to Bnei Noach. The Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, which is the source of this din, never mentions the requirement that the children of the non-Jew themselves convert. And the Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch quote the opinion of the Maharil that this is not required. A non-Jew fulfills Piri Virivia immediately upon conversion, as long as he has a son and a daughter, even if they are not Jewish and do not convert. We note that for both the Rambam and the Maharil, this is a very surprising din. If a non-Jew, say, eats matzah on the Seder night, and then converts an hour later, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah, and he must do so again after converting. So how does he fulfill the mitzvah of Periyaviruvia by having children when he was a non-Jew? The Minchat Chinuch proves from here that Periyaviruvia is not a mitzvah of action, like eating matzah. When a mitzvah requires an action, it can only be done by a bar chiyuva, someone obligated in the mitzvah at that point. Rather, says the Minchat Chinuch, the mitzvah of Periyaviruvia is simply to be in a state of having biological offspring. So the convert fulfills the mitzvah by being in this state from the moment he converts. The listener is referred to the Minchat Chinuch on the very first mitzvah of the Torah for further discussion of this idea. Halacha Zayin. Lo yisa adam akara uzkeina va'aylonit uktana she'ina ru'ya levalad, ela imken kiyem mitzvah piriya v'rivya, o shahayta lo isha acheret lifrot v'lirbot mimena. A man who has not fulfilled piriya v'rivya must take as a wife a woman capable of having children, meaning not a barren woman, nor one too old or too young to give birth, nor an aylonit, unless he has another wife who can have children. Of course, in our day, when polygamy is forbidden due to Cheron de Rabbeinu Gershom, this means that a man without children may not marry a woman incapable of having children. But we'll come back to this in a moment. What happens if a couple gets married planning to have children, but it doesn't work out? Continuing in Halacha Zayin. Nasa isha v'shaha ima eser shanim v'lo yalda, hare ze yotzi v'iten ktuba, o yisa isha haru uyalilad. V'im lo ratza lehotzi, kofinoto umakinoto bashot ad shiotzi. If a man is married to a woman for 10 years and she has no children, then he must divorce her and pay the full ktuba, or marry another woman capable of having children. This din is derived in the Gemara from Avram Avinu, who took Hagar as a wife when Sarah had no children even 10 years after she and Avraham arrived in Eretz Canaan. The Gemara says that their time in Chutz Laaretz did not count toward the 10 years. Nowadays, when taking a second wife is not an option, this would seem to mean that the couple need to divorce. The Rama, in similar manner to his psak we mentioned earlier, about not forcing marriage at age 20, writes about both dinim in this halacha, that nowadays we do not force anyone in matters relating to marriage. We don't prevent someone from marrying a woman he loves, even if she can't have children, and we don't force a couple to divorce even if they have no children after 10 years. But even without duress from Beit Din, must the couple themselves divorce? Poskim offer a variety of reasons why this is no longer the common practice, though we should note from the outset that not all agree. The Gra felt that such a couple absolutely must divorce so that the husband can marry again and hopefully have children. The Hagot Maimoniot here refers to a Gemara in Masechet Bava Batra, which suggests that it would have been appropriate, as a gzeira in the wake of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, for the Jewish people to accept upon themselves never to marry and have children. Even if this statement is understood as an exaggeration, as such a gzeira would very quickly eradicate the Jewish people, it may be relied upon to allow a childless couple to remain married. Some poskim also refer to the din that one need not spend beyond a certain amount in order to fulfill a mitzvah aseh, in contrast to avoiding the violation of a lo taseh, for which there is no upper limit on how much one must spend. Since divorce can cost the husband a lot of money, including the full ketubah along with any tosefet ketubah, missing out on periyaviruvia may be justified in order to avoid this huge expense. Halacha chet. Shahat eser shanim v'lo yalda. V'hayahu yoresh yichvat zera kachetz, chezkata choli mimena, v'teitse shalo biktuba, v'yesh la tosefet, lo tia zot pichuta mi'aylonit shalo hikirba, sh'yesh la tosefet, k'mo sh'yitba'er. V'imei no yoresh kachetz, chezkata choli mimenu bilvad, v'chishiyotzi yitein aktuba kula, ikar v'tosefet. The Rambam here seems to be elaborating on the last halacha, and he distinguishes between two cases in order to determine which side is responsible for the inability of the couple to have children. It depends, according to the Rambam, on whether the husband is yorek kachetz, capable of ejaculating with force. If he isn't, then we assume that the problem comes from him, because the Gemara says that only in a situation of yorek kachetz is there any possibility of having children. It is in this scenario that the husband must pay his wife the entire amount of the ketubah when he divorces her, as we learned in the last halacha. One may ask, if the husband can't have children because he isn't yorek hachetz, then what is the point in him marrying another wife, as Halacha Zayin said he must do? The assumption seems to be that with another woman he may be able to be Yorek HaChetz and have children. If the husband is Yorek HaChetz, then our assumption is that the wife is infertile, Chezkat HaCholi Mimena. Therefore, he does not pay her the amount of the Iker Ketubah when he divorces her, though he does pay her the Tosefet Ketubah, for reasons we'll understand when we get to Perek Chaf Dalet. The next halacha clarifies this point somewhat. If the husband is Yorek HaChetz, then we have no reason to assume that the problem comes from him. But of course, it is still possible that this is the case. But despite the suffix about which partner cannot have children, the husband cannot be forced to pay the Iker Ketubah when they divorce, because of his Chezkat Mamon. The money is his, and only if we have strong reason to believe that the problem comes from him can we take it from him. Hamotzi Michavaro Alav Haraya. The Ravid, in his Asaga here, strongly rejects this psak of the Rambam, and believes that the wife loses her ketubah only if there is much stronger evidence that she is unable to have children, as we'll see in Halacha Yudalid. This is the conclusion of the Rama as well. Halacha Tet. Hu omer mimena nimna havalad, v'hi omeret mimenu nimna, mipnei she'eino yorek hachetz. Hi nemenet, v'yesh lo lahachrim al misha to'enet avar she'eina yodat oto bevadai. This halacha deals with a case of conflicting claims of the husband and wife as to the source of the problem. If the husband claims that he is Yorek HaChetz, but the wife claims that he isn't, then she is believed, as this is something which the woman feels during marital relations and the man does not. Therefore, in this situation, the man may issue a general cherim against anyone who makes a claim against him, which may not be true, but afterwards he must grant her the entire ketubah when they divorce. But if she does not know if the problem comes from him or from her, then we apply the principle we said earlier. The husband has a chezkat mamon and therefore cannot be forced to pay the ketubah until we have good reason to believe that he is the source of the problem. Halacha Yud. Ha'isha sheba'a litboa ba'ala legarsha achar eser shanim mipnei shelo yalda v'hi omeret she'eino yorek hachetz. Shomin la. Suppose that after 10 years with no children, the husband does not wish to divorce, either because he already has children from another wife, or because he is willing to marry another wife without divorcing this one. But the wife insists on getting a divorce from him, with a two-part claim. One, that she is capable of having children, and the problem is from the husband, who isn't Yorek HaChetz. And two, that even though she isn't obligated in Piri Verivya, it is important to her to have a child, who will be able to assist her when she reaches old age. In this case, we accept her claim and force him to divorce her. However, he is only required to pay her the Ikar Ketubah. The implicit stipulation regarding the Tosefet Ketubah is that the husband only agreed to pay it in a case where he initiates a process of divorce, not when he is forced into it by a claim on the part of his wife. The Ravid in his Hasaga here writes that there is no need for her to claim that the husband isn't Yorek HaChetz in order for her to collect her Ikar Ketubah. As in his Hasaga on Halacha Tet, he believes that there is no reason for this claim unless we otherwise have good reason to believe that the problem comes from her. This is only the case if she proves unable to have children from two different men, as we'll see in Halacha Yud Dalet. Halacha Yud Aleph. Halach bischora betoch eser shanim, o shehaya chole, o shehaita hi chola, o shehayu chavushin bebeit hasurin, ein ole lahen oto zman min haminyan. In measuring the time period of 10 years before a childless couple need to divorce, we don't count any time during which the husband was away on business, or either one was sick, or either one was imprisoned. The reason for this is obvious if the couple were not able to have relations together during the time that one was sick or imprisoned. But the Shulchan Aruch writes that even if they were in fact able to do so, that time period still does not count toward the 10 years. The Rush writes that even in this scenario, we assume that the disease or imprisonment is divine punishment for some sin, and that this punishment includes the inability to have children during that time. Halacha Yud Bet. Hipila monem miyom shehipila. Hipila v'chazra v'hipila shlosha pamim huchzeka l'infalim v'shema lo zacha l'banot mena v'yotzi v'yiten ketubah. If the wife miscarries, this resets the 10-year count. If she miscarries three times, then the couple must divorce immediately for a different reason. The three miscarriages establish a chazaka, and we assume that this couple will never be able to have children. But we do not assume that the problem comes specifically from her. Rather, lo zacha li banot mimena, there is some divine impediment to this couple having children together. This means, first, that she receives her entire ketubah when they divorce. And second, the Shulchan Aruch adds, that she may marry someone else after her divorce. The chazaka established with the first husband has no bearing on her second marriage. Halacha Yud Gimel. Hu omer hi pila betoch eser, kedei shi yishe ima, vihi omeret lo ipalti, nemenet, sheina machazeket atzma ba'akarut. Hu omer hi pila shnayim, vihi omeret shlosha, nemenet, sheina machazeket atzma b'mapilut, viyotzi viyitein ktuba. ובכל זה משביעה שבועת הסית שלא הפילה או שהפילה שלוש, שבטענה זו יתחייב ליתן כתובתה. These are two cases where the husband and wife make competing claims. She claims that they need to divorce, while he claims that they do not. In both cases, Beit Din require the woman to take a shavua that her claim is true. And once she does, they accept her claim and order the husband to divorce her and pay her the value of the entire ketubah. Why do they accept her claim? In the first case, the husband claims that she miscarried during the 10 years, thereby resetting the 10-year clock, and she claims that she didn't. She is in essence insisting that she is barren, which she would not do if it weren't true. In the second case, the husband claims that she miscarried only twice during their marriage, and she claims it was three times. She is insisting that she has a chazaka to miscarry, which, again, she would never do unless it were true. The Ravid in his Asaga here believes that in both cases, the woman is believed even without taking a shavua. Halacha Yud Dalad. Nis'eit le'echad v'shahat eser shanim v'lo yalda v'hotzia muter tinasei l'sheni. Shahat ima sheni eser shanim v'lo yalda lo tinasei l'shlishi. V'im nis'eit l'shlishi teitzei b'lo k'tuba. If a woman is married to a man for 10 childless years and he divorces her, she may marry another man. If the same thing happens in her second marriage, she may not marry a third time, except to someone who has another wife or who has already fulfilled the mitzvah of Piriya Virivya. If she does marry someone who hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah and has no other wife, then he must divorce her immediately and she gets no ketubah. The Magen Mishnah adds, and the Shulchan Aruch rules the halacha, that the lack of ketubah is only in a situation where the third husband didn't know about her history. If he did know, but married her anyway, this is no worse than one who marries a woman who is known to be an ilonit. As we'll learn in Perek Chaf Dalid, she gets a ketubah in this case. Halacha Tetvav addresses a case where the wife doesn't wait 10 years, but comes to Beit Din before them and demands a divorce on the grounds that her husband is not yorek hachetz, or is otherwise unable to engage in a normal act of marital relations which is capable of producing children. The Rambam doesn't mention what the husband claims, but Tosfot say that if the husband admits to her claim that he is not able to engage in normal marital relations, then he must divorce her and pay her ketubah. But if the husband denies her claim, then Beit Din encourage her to continue living with him until 10 years are up, at which point she can ask for divorce, as we saw in Halacha Yud. Even if she is resistant to this, Beit Din do not declare her to be a moredet, whose dinim we learned in the last parak, but rather continue the discussion until a compromise is reached. The Rama writes that if there are objective indications that she is telling the truth, which nowadays could likely be obtained by medical examination, that she is believed, and the husband must divorce her immediately. Halacha Tet Zayin. Af al pi shekiyem adam mitzvat piriyah v'riviyah, harei hu mitzuveh midivrei sofrim shelo yibatel milifrot v'lirvot kol zman sheyesh bo koach, shekol amosif nefesh achat b'Yisrael, ki ilu bana ulam. V'chein mitzvat chachamim hi shelo yeshev ish belo isha, shelo yavo lidei hirur, velo teshev isha belo ish, shelo techashed. The minimum of one son and one daughter refers only to the mitzvah d'oraita of Perya Virivya. Aside from this, there is a mitzvah d'rabbanan for a man to continue having children as long as he is able to, because whenever someone creates a Jewish life, it is as if he built an entire world. The basis for this mitzvah d'rabbanan is a pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Memhei, which says, Lo tohu bera'ah lashevet yitzara. Hashem didn't create the world for it to be empty, but rather for it to be settled. Even when a man cannot or doesn't wish to have more children, Chazal said that he should always have a wife so that he not fall victim to hirhur avera, and every woman should have a husband so that others do not suspect her of znut. The remainder of the perek consists of a series of statements of Chazal, which we will summarize, about how husband and wife should act toward one another. A husband should warn his wife to act in a modest manner whenever necessary. This type of warning is known as kinui and will play an important role in Hilchot Sota. But he should not overdo it, as this can lead to an atmosphere of suspicion and mistrust which can poison the marriage. Whenever a husband has relations with his wife, it must be by mutual consent and in a pleasant frame of mind on both sides, and he may never force himself upon her. A wife should be modest in her home and must not engage in excessive levity in front of her husband. She should never ask her husband explicitly to have relations with her, nor should she ever withhold relations from her husband in order to cause him pain. She should avoid anything which resembles or has the appearance of licentiousness. Halacha Yud Tet. V'chein tzivu chachamim, shiye adam mechabed et ishto yater migufo, ve'ohava kigufo, v'im yesh lo mamon, marbe betovata kefi hamamon, v'lo yatil aleha eima yitera, v'ye diburo ima benachat, v'lo ye atsev v'lo rogez. Chazal commanded that a husband honor his wife more than he has honored himself, and love her as he loves himself. He must spend money on her in accordance with his means. He must be careful not to intimidate her, and must always speak to her calmly and in a pleasant manner, without anger or annoyance. And, the Rambam concludes in Halacha Chaf, Chazal commanded a woman to honor her husband and to treat him like a prince. She should try her best to fulfill his wishes and to distance herself from anything which he dislikes.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.